Chairman Dustin Johnson is going to actually discuss our absence. I've got with me here Commissioner Fulton, I've got Commissioner Gary Genson. We also have a number of representatives from Northwestern here with us, as well as our reporter, Lovett Apical, the both who's appearing in here at Room 412, and those appearing telephonically to speak up. This is the time of the place for the October 7th PUC meeting, and I'm going to hold off for just a second because the prompt Now we are going to go ahead and determine who else is appearing telephonically. I had the information that perhaps four people would be joining us. First is Brett Kinnicky on the line.
I decided to come up to 412, Mr. Vice Chairman, so I'm here in live in person in the Capitol building.
Brett, could you go ahead and speak just a little bit louder?
Sure, I'm here live and in room 412 of the Capitol building. Is that better?
No, I haven't. I had been told up here that he would be, but Tina had spoken with Pam Bonrud, who said that she thought that he would be on the call, and he inquired of me about it, but I haven't been able to get a hold of him.
No problem. How about Harvey Oliver? Mr. Oliver expected to be on the call.
I think Harvey was not going to appear.
Brett Kinnicky, Mr. Chairman, appearing in Pier, representing Northwestern Energy. We're excited to be here this afternoon talking about the Redfield Energy Project. Both those people in Sioux Falls, the people at Redfield Energy LLC, Mr. Hopper and his client Bert Magstead, and Northwestern have come together to put a package together for a big ethanol plant in Spink County. Doing so required a substantial amount of engineering and a substantial amount of thought as to how to tie that ethanol system into the electrical system in Spink County, and doing so required the development of a rate and a tariff to accurately reflect what the cost of providing electricity and service was to the folks at Redfield Energy. I'd invite Jeff Decker and or Dave Jacobson to speak with the commission in greater detail about how that was done, but we'd certainly ask for your approval of the contract with deviations here this afternoon.
I would note for everyone on the line in person, there's a content filing as part of this docket. So if anybody thinks that we're venturing into areas that perhaps are better discussed in the content session, Mr. Decker, Mr. Jacobson, would either of you like to add anything?
Well, hopefully everybody's aware of all the aspects of the filing. Jeff and I talked yesterday, and he was going to give a brief summary, but if he doesn't want to, that's fine. I would just state that the rate should allow Northwestern to recover the incremental cost of serving a customer within the 10-year period described by the company in the filing. The incremental capacity needed to serve the customer has been priced at the incremental cost of purchasing it as opposed to the average system costs. And with the conditions recommended by staff, which will follow, the Commission clearly retains its ability to protect other ratepayers from the risks of paying for possible under-recovery of costs caused by the customer. Those conditions would be the same as those that were used in docket NG06003, which was a similar type of filing by Northwestern. And those conditions would be that Northwestern Energy provide a report to the Commission of all costs of constructing the electric extension upon completion of the extension, and that disapproval does not predetermine a Commission decision at the time of future rate case proceedings regarding rate treatment concerning possible cost recovery shortfalls resulting from rates approved in this docket. With those conditions, I would recommend approval of the filing and would be here to help answer any questions that the Commissioners might have. Well, yeah, and there will be no subsidization until the company came in to change rates, which would present an opportunity for subsidization to occur. Within the first five-year period, the cost of the incremental cost of serving the customers of building the facilities needed will not be recovered by that time, but shortly thereafter, full recovery should occur during the second five-year period, under rate 34 with the option L.
Commissioner Johnson, this is Greg Reslov. If I could ask a question of Jeff Decker.
Yeah, whatever.
How many people will be employed at this plant? Thank you.
Only the ones I mentioned earlier regarding a report about the actual costs upon completion of the extension facility and the finding by the Commission that the approval does not predetermine future Commission rate treatment regarding this rate, how it would be worked into the next rate case.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Kaneke, did you have something else to add?
I just want to clarify what I think Mr. Jacobson is saying, and that is if there were to be a system-wide rate case started by either Northwestern or the Commission, that what you're saying is this outcome today won't be a predetermining factor as to what rates might be in the event of system-wide rate case, correct?
Yes. One way to put it is that this does not determine whether or not the commission would consider allowing other ratepayers to help recover a possible under-recovery that results from this rate.
Thank you. Glad to take that, Mr. Chairman. Back in about the end of May, Redfield Energy, acting through Bert Magstedt and Monty Hopper, provided the commission with a petition asking for a change under Section 56 of the electrical service provider for this site, which is just northwest of Redfield. This is going to be sited in what is currently Northern Electric Cooperative's territory. Northwestern Energy joined in that petition at the same time, alleging that there's an adequate power supply. We can meet the electric service requirements. We have adequate facilities in close proximity and can provide service with a minimum of construction, and we still believe that to be the case. Northern Electric, of course, intervened, as is their right, and we've wrangled with them over the summer and into the fall, and we're finally at a point where we've presented you with a settlement agreement and service rights exception, which I think would be under Section 55 of the code. But we've essentially agreed that the site where the plant is to be constructed and built will be a service rights exception, if you'll grant that today, such that Northwestern will be serving that location into the future. If you've got any questions, we'd be glad to try and answer those. We think we were better placed in physical proximity. We've got a substation about a mile south of this location. And if I recall, they'd have had to come in with like 13 and a half miles. Please don't hold me to that, but it was extensive that the facilities that would have to have been put in by Northern Electric, given the location of the plant. And we think we were closer and able to serve it in redundant fashion with facilities or should I say redundant power coming in, I think, from three directions, if I've got that correct. And so we think it's better for everybody, and we've agreed in the service rights exception agreement and would hope that you'd approve that today, this afternoon. Thank you.
Mr. Hopper, do you have anything else to add?
Really nothing else other than to just say that we do request
this is Nathan Solom with staff. The fact that Northwestern can serve the customer from a point a mile away versus the longer distance from Northern Electric means that there's lower installation costs. And
is joining the meeting.
And this allows for the provision of adequate service and promotion of the efficient and economical use and development of the electric systems as required for such agreements under SDCL 4934A55. Therefore, staff recommends approval of this territory rights exception.
Go to
take action. Dave, do you have any updates? I know there's an Amazon line as well.
I do, Mr. Chairman. I regret to say that we don't quite have a final agreement. We're down to three minor things that I think are fairly minor, and maybe Tom Knapp can give you a different take on it. I believe they can be resolved in relatively short order. We have a logistical problem as part of the issue because this particular agreement, it does involve BBI as a signatory, and BBI is in Australia, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning over there. So, unfortunately, we're unable to get the last couple things signed off on by them. I'm willing to take a little of the responsibility for that, this as well. We were going to try to get the draft done last night, but I have a health issue I'm dealing with right now, and I wasn't able to stay last night and keep on it. So I don't know, Tom, whether you have anything to add. We're extremely close. I feel bad because I'm the one that brought this before the commission today and thinking we would be completely done, and we're not quite done.
Well, it's interesting. I appreciate your willingness to put yourself on the floor, but I'm going to go over to general commissioner's instructions.
No, and Mr. Commissioner and John Smith and others, I will certainly fall on my sword and take some of the blame. Obviously, John and I have been working very hard to get to an agreement that both sides would be comfortable with, and we are substantially there. There were just a few issues that we needed to vet, and that's what we're doing now, and I don't see why shortly. So, and I apologize for not being able to coordinate on my side. It's principally my fault for not doing that. So, I will take the heat on that. But, Mr. Commissioner and others, I would say that we're pretty close. We're very close, frankly, and we should be able to get there soon.
Thanks, Mr. Knapp. And, you know, this kind of deliberations are incredibly technical, and this is a very big deal. It's a very big deal for BBI. Trying to work out the issues that were raised. So,
So Tom, your responsive filing was made on September 19th? Tom, this is John Smith.
No, I'm trying to recall. I don't recall the exact date.
Okay. Well, I mean, as you know, I have a personal handicap between now and tomorrow because I'm going to be in the hospital. It might be possible. It's very difficult to get there between now and tomorrow, just from a logistical standpoint. And I'm like you. I desperately would like to have this done, if for no other reason, so we could have a weekend without having to think about it for a while. I don't know. Is part of the issue, Tom, that you'd like that Mike has been gone and incommunicado? Is that some of it?
Mike is obviously not in ability to communicate with. It's also, you know, it's obviously also trying to get everybody together to review the last revisions in the agreement. And, so to do that, trying to get the time differences together, it just makes Friday afternoon, I think, probably not doable. And that, Tuesday, I think Tuesday would be the best day if the commission is, willing to do that.
Okay, well, I think I'm stupid, but I'm not crazy, and I certainly know that the next week makes more sense. Is there a time of day that works for the parties?
I'm just going to throw out, I mean, how would, I don't know, I'd like 1:30 or 2, that gives us some time in the morning in case there are some last-minute things to deal with. Whatever the chairman would like is okay with me. I don't know, Tom, do you have a preference?
I think that time is fine. Whatever time the chairman feels is appropriate, that we can go along with.
Let's go ahead and set it tentatively at this time at 2 o'clock on Tuesday. Mr. Smith, do you think it would be better to continue or to have a new meeting and repost the meeting?
Why don't we do both? I think you can continue this till Tuesday, but I would also perhaps ask our administrative staff to proceed with issuing another ad hoc notice for Tuesday.
Go ahead and do that. Okay. Big decision, big issue, and we certainly want everybody to be aware of what the commission is going to be aware of it.
Okay.
Set that at 2 o'clock. We do have another commissioner we're going to check with. We want to make sure this works for everybody. And Mr. Knapp, you want to check and make sure it works on your end. But unless by tomorrow morning,
I think it does. One other caveat, as you know, Mr. Chairman, here in Pierre, we always have to deal with the issue of space and communications competition with other agencies. So we'll have to have the administrative staff clear the availability of both telephone equipment and room. But that, if that isn't a problem, I think that'll work. I think I would prefer a motion to continue until Tuesday or to defer, whichever word you want to use.
Okay.